it's not abstract, right? It's for a five-year-old to be able to start to grasp that concept of like doing hard things in life is cool. And it can be fun and rewarding. But to make it tangible for her that it's not just even the things that she's doing, like riding a scooter for a mile, but it's also things that her mom and dad do, running half marathons, full marathons, ultras. She can relate and see that, okay, mom and dad put in the hard work.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. My guest this week is Sean Bemis. Sean is a returning guest. I've been following him on LinkedIn especially, and he has got some things that he has done recently and some things that he's working toward mindset-wise, and I wanted to catch up with him and kind of see where he is at and the wisdom and insights that he can share with us about just from his life and from running. Good conversation, as always, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Sean Bemis. So you've got a beard since I saw you last, if I remember right.
I was trying to remember where, you know, when exactly we had spoken last.
But I think last time I talked to you, you were still active. I think you were still in active duty, but you were kind of in a transition period. So you were, you're kind of looking at what you were going to come next. So catch me up. Well, what job did you get and how did all that go?
Yeah, so I ended up, I'm working with a Danish startup company.
There's a joke in there I won't say.
So I'm the lone American. We do temporary luggage storage.
Okay.
So say you fly in somewhere, you're staying in an Airbnb, it's not ready yet. You find one of our locations, drop your bags off, you can start your vacation. And then whenever your Airbnb is ready, go grab your stuff and then go check in. So
yeah, we have been in that situation before. Yeah. My line of fire is like, and actually I think it was Hawaii, and our flight got in whenever, and it was hours before. We had a rental car, but still, it's like we were in travel clothes and. We really wanted to be in swimsuits and on the beach. Right. And it was like, okay, what do we, okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm the lone American. I work from home at this point. And, so doing that, that's been good. And then I do a little work on the side with a soccer consulting firm.
Okay.
As well. So, cause that was, I was trying to get into do some work in sports. So
yeah, you remind me what you were looking for in sports. You had
I'd been interviewing with some teams, for a chief of staff role.
Okay. Yeah. Chief of staff. Yeah. I was trying to remember it. It was something that didn't realize that they had those roles. I mean, because you always hear about it for the government, the governor and the politicians, and I didn't realize it was a sports role.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an emerging role, but didn't latch on to a team. Doing a little bit of work with this sports consulting firm, soccer consulting firm. Is there, again, the lone American.
So it's an overseas?
Yeah. So based out of Barcelona.
Okay.
And then I just, through my transition, made enough connections within Major League Soccer that they were like, hey, that could be useful. So they brought me on. So
cool. Now one of the things I was busy this morning, I was going to look up what episode your last conversation was, and I didn't get that done. So, but I think it's been about a year and a half. I think
at least a year and a half. Because I retired in February of last year.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it'd be probably about 18 months.
Yeah. Now, when I talked to you, you had run, was it the, oh my goodness, I don't remember the name of the race, but I remember you talking about the sugar sand that you had to run in, and I'd never heard of sugar sand. So, and I think you were going back to that race. So, what have you been racing since?
Yeah. So, I went back and DNF'd. It was really bad. I was in the middle of that transition. And I had latched on with a sports consulting firm as an intern, basically through a government program. And maybe 2 weeks before that race, they had told me, hey, they weren't going to offer me a full-time position. And I was just in a terrible headspace. I wasn't fit physically. Mm-hmm. I put so much into that internship that I didn't train properly. And I just very early on, just everything fell apart. And I completely just broke down. So
Cause I think you had done it once and you were going back for either a longer distance or, I remember that. Now, what was the name of the race
Sandspur.
Sandspur. Yes. Okay. Okay.
So I ended up DNF that one. And then kind of took some time off, a little bit of time off. And then, just a month ago, got back in, ran a 12-hour ultra down here. It was the first one. It's El Gato Rebelde. Rebelde, I think is how you say it. So Spanish.
Okay. El Gato. I got that's cat.
Rebel, I think it's Rebel Cat.
So, Rebel Cat. Okay.
Yeah. So it's down in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. And it's right on the beach. It's on like a, it's not a boardwalk really, but it's like a hard packed dirt path. And it's a 2.6 mile loop and you just go for 12 hours. And it was the first one that he had done. Great race. The race director did a really good job with it. So I went in with the goal of 50 miles. I got 47 and a half.
Wow.
So it was, and it was one of those, again, I kind of fell apart really early, had some stomach issues. The race director kept coming over. I think he was pretty worried about me. And then I just caught a second wind and really put down some miles.